Let us pray. Holy One, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace and love that abounds in this community between each and every one of us. For your grace that is at work in the world, moving all around us, seeking to break through our hearts, our lives, our communities, to be people of love, faith, and action in the world. Share with us today, O God, a word, an image, a reflection of you, and how to live faithfully to follow the ways of Jesus. And may the words from my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Whenever I get asked the question, what was the very first job you've ever had, Reverend Dion? My answer is delivering newspapers for the Valley Daily News in Renton. I was a middle schooler in the 80s, trying to save up a little money for probably some basketball shoes or comic books. Although that was my first paid job, as I've been reflecting this week, I think about what was my first job. And as I think about it, that job was setting the table at home. Setting the table. Yes. Many of you know that I come from a bigger family, a family of six, four of us children, and my mom and dad, who immigrated to the U.S. from the Philippines in the 60s. Like many of you and like many of us, my parents were always hard at work. My mom is a nurse. My dad as a social worker and as a writer. But even in different seasons of their life, worked in the evening time too, on top of their day jobs. My mom says proudly, yes, I used to weld. I'm a welder. And she did that at night, and my dad was a janitor in the evenings. And on top of that, our family, we ran, I shared this at our retreat, we ran what's called and managed an adult family home, basically like a nursing home in many ways, but being held within a family residence. My apong, which means grandmother in Ilocano, cooked, cleaned, and provided meals for all 12 of us in the house. That's right, 12 of us, including all the residents that were there. That was my childhood. And my job was setting the table, along with me and my siblings. I spent so many hours watching her in the kitchen, prep those meals, cooking her sweet and sour chicken, pancit, and desserts, which I love so much, bibinca. Kind of like mochi. My apong, my grandmother, always had me setting the table. And for all the residents that lived with us. There's a person who comes to mind as one of the residents. We had a dear friend. Her name was Millie. She was a friend, a resident, a woman who lived with us all throughout my childhood. And what I remember as a young boy in elementary school, that I would always be the one to set the table for Millie. Millie was blind. She didn't have the ability to see all of us four Corsilius kids running around making ruckus and noise all throughout our house. But she could hear us talking, running around the house, playing the piano. Every day for breakfast and for her dinner, I would be the one to set her table, bring the food to her. She would eat in her room, bring the table right alongside her bed, bring her hot plate and meal to her bedside, fork and spoon, napkin and cup of coffee. My setting the table for Millie turned into bringing her meal to her bedside and actually her saying, "Hey Dion, John, can you just wait a moment? Tell me a little bit more about what you did today." I'm a 7-year-old child, and she asked me, "Tell me what you did at school today. Tell me who you played with. Tell me about that teacher of yours and what that teacher taught you." And she said, "Can you play those songs on the piano that you play? Even play those scales. I want to listen to you play those scales." As I remember these moments with Millie in my childhood, I'm reminded that we too metaphorically are called to set the table for others. We are simply called and invited to be Jesus to others, those who are placed in our lives, in our homes, our neighbors, those in the workplace. We are to go about even the mundane and routine things in our lives with deep, deep love and presence for others. So I found myself bringing food to her, but at the same time I found myself even taking a moment to pause and to listen, to be present, to laugh, to smile. What tables are you setting in your life today? Who are the people in your life that are the presence of Christ to you? Who are the people in our lives all around us that we are being called to be the body of Christ to? In today's scripture passage, we find a familiar miracle story in Jesus, in the feeding of the 5,000. Out of all the miracles we find in the scriptures, there's only one miracle recorded in all 4 gospels, and it's this one, the feeding of the 5,000. There's something different about the story that Jesus may be inviting us to pay attention to. Sometimes we forget that to be provided for and to have our needs met are indeed miracles themselves. We all have miracles that we're in need of, whether it's an improved relationship with a person, perhaps a family member, a friend, someone here at the church, or perhaps it's a better financial situation. Needing a miracle with our finances. Or perhaps it's a miracle of a health situation in our lives. This story is a beautiful reminder that Jesus provides, that Jesus sustains and meets the needs of the growing crowd. But it's also a miracle story for the disciples. It's a story about discipleship. Jesus calls and invites us to participate and use what we have in our hands and in our lives, what we have gone through, who we have been shaped to be, for the sake of meeting needs of others. It's a story of invitation to action, to do something, to move. That discipleship is not just about following, but discipleship is about participating. In this provision of food for many, the disciples witness that the promise of provision is their future. And what does Jesus say to us? What does Jesus say to the disciples? Don't send them away. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. In other words, you do it. And then Jesus miraculously expands the rations, provides the food, resources of bread and fish. And in that line, he's saying to his disciples, live. You can't sit back and watch me do it all. Live. I'm counting on you. I need you to participate and help. This passage, this scripture passage and story makes us ponder and look at Jesus' words and instructions to his disciples in a different way. Do you ever wonder why Jesus tries to disrupt and question our ways of going about things and how we do things? Even ways of how we interact with friends and family, or even ways of doing ministry. This is a deserted place. It's getting too late. Send them all away so that they can get food for themselves in the village. But where will the food come from? Come on, Jesus, the people need to do it for themselves. This is a scripture passage of discipleship and participating in the life and ministry and love of Jesus Christ. But it reminds us that discipleship isn't easy. It's not convenient. It's not easy. It's not tidy. But it's hard work. But the feeding of the 5,000 gives witness to what a miracle can look like in what resurrection looks like. And it draws us to ask, who are the crowds in our community? Who are the people in our lives that we tend to send away here and there? I think of us. I think of my friends. I think of us here at church. Who folks desire to come here wanting to search for a deep connection of community and to God. But I also see friends and neighbors all around us at the grocery stores, even in the Greenbelt here, looking for a place to sleep. I just read online that Seattle and King County's homeless and unsheltered population is the third largest in the United States, just behind New York City and Los Angeles, where more than 22,000 people were counted in shelters and on the streets on a single night just last year in the Seattle, King County area. There are folks and neighbors all around us in search. Crowds in search of a meal, in search of salvation. Asking, where am I going to sleep tonight? Where am I going for my next meal? Where can I be in a community where I am loved and embraced and accepted just as I am? And Jesus noticed all the people all around him. He made himself curious to the needs of those on the margins, and he took action by closing this gap and distance in space between himself and others. I shared last week as Emma and I were driving along I-90, heading back to Seattle, I-90 West, and as it merged onto I-5 South, it backed up and there was a line of cars. And we've become all so familiar with the tents that are there and the folks that have no place to go and to be. And as we observed and looked around, we saw bulldozers. And Emma tapped me and said, "Where are all the people? Where did the people go?" Who are the people in our lives? Who are the people in our community that we need to close our distance to? Today we're celebrating World Communion Sunday. It's a special Sunday celebrated once a year by Christian denominations all around the world. And it's a Sunday that promotes Holy Communion. It celebrates that we are one body in Christ. That although we come from different traditions, different perspectives, different life upbringings, that we are all part of the body of Christ. That we could come to this table knowing that we are all beloved children of God and that God invites us to a life of grace, love, and compassion. As we close our time together in this reflection, I invite you to close your eyes. Close your eyes just for a moment. Just imagine you're one of the disciples returning tired from following Jesus, tired from hanging around your best friends, witnessing the healings and miracles of Jesus. And Jesus invites you to rest and to retreat. But all of a sudden, there's this crowd of people. There's this crowd asking to be around you and Jesus, asking for help. And you begin to see and notice that people are starting to get hungry. People, too, are starting to get tired. And all of a sudden, you and your friends say, "Let's send them away, Jesus. Send them away. Let's send them away to find another place, to find food and rest." And Jesus says to you, "You give them something to eat." And all you say, and we say, "I only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And as you close your eyes, think about all the resources in your life, your family, your friends, your home, your life experiences, your connections with friends. And picture placing each of those resources one by one in Jesus' hands until that last resource is yourself, resting in the arms of Jesus. What table is Christ inviting you to set today? Who is God calling you to invite to God's open and wide table? Let us pray. Holy One, we offer these resources unto you. We offer ourselves, our lives. We offer our tables, our hopes, our dreams, into your loving care. Lead us, guide us, transform us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.